John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will not by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go out and in and find pasture. The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then, verse 28, and I give them, the sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Father, I pray right now, Lord, as we just look at this passage of Scripture, that God, you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to the church here in Salem today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in just a couple weeks, more than half of the television sets will be tuned to one major event. The greatest event of the year, in my mind, the Super Bowl, where America's best football teams will vie for the title, number one, for that trophy, you know, best football team. But advertisers are going to be paying well over $1 million a minute for advertising time during the Super Bowl because they know all of America is watching the Super Bowl. Last year, after the game was over, they rated, or they did kind of a recap of the game, some of the commentators did. But they also, for the first time, did a recap of some of the commercials. You see, what happened, that's why I watch the Super Bowl. I don't care about football. I just like the commercials. You know, the people will be putting in their best commercials, you know, and buying to see who's the best. And last year, again, they kind of did a recap of the commercials to find out who was the best commercial last year. And maybe some of you guys remember what was last year's best commercial. It was Pepsi-Cola. Remember the commercial? It was shot from the position of a camera. You know, it's like you see in a 7-Eleven store that's got the date and the time. It's used to, you know, record when a robber comes in. It just runs all the time. And it showed the Coca-Cola guy coming in. Remember that? Coca-Cola guy comes in and he got a rack, you know, of a rack. That's a beer term, isn't it? He's got a case of a case of Coca-Cola. He puts it into the cooler and stuff, and then, not knowing that the camera was running, he kind of looks around like this and goes over to the Pepsi side. Remember that? He grabs a can of Pepsi and all the cans coming up. It had, the reason it was so good is because it had what is known in the advertising industry as staying power. It had an ability to kind of stick in your mind. One of the best commercials ever was produced by the Allstate Indemnity Group. And it had a little logo, and it had a little jingle to it that had, for years, staying power. Some of you that may not have seen it still may remember it. Those of us that were there will understand what I mean when I say, you're in good hands with Allstate. It had staying power. You know, TV, just a few years ago, you see, you know, a family driving down the road in a Suburban or whatever, and some of these two hands come in and just cuff this thing, and man, you were convinced, whoa, man, these guys were in good hands. Or they come in a house or whatever, and and they'd cup the house, and with Allstate Insurance, you were in good hands. I have, in the past couple of Sundays, the Sunday before Christmas and the Sunday before New Year's, have challenged us to do a couple of things. Before Christmas, I challenged us to give God the one thing that he doesn't have, and that's our sin. And I know that many of you did actually wrap up a present and put it under the tree and burn it on Wednesday morning, because like I said, from Silverton, I looked out on Wednesday morning and it looked like there were burning fields over here in Salem, you know, once again. I also challenged us last Sunday to take a stand, to stick our neck out, and in so doing, for 1997, we will see God, and that is what is important for us. Now, I know that some of us are maybe having a little bit of a difficult time with that. Some of us have done that and might feel a little bit naked, maybe a little bit uncovered, a little bit vulnerable. I want you to know something. Jesus Christ says he is the good shepherd. And you know what? You're in good hands. You're in good hands with our good shepherd. He doesn't give us a life insurance program. He gives us a life assurance program. And what I want to talk about this morning is the good shepherd, in whose hands we are in, who holds us, who cups us, who sustains us. I want to look at the hands. I want to look at the good shepherd. Chapter 10 that we are looking at today is really a continuation of chapter 9. If you remember, in chapter 9, there was a blind man that Jesus had healed of congenital blindness. He had been blind from birth, and he was forced to stand before the Pharisees, or the religious leaders, the shepherds of the time, the shepherds of the Jewish religion. And he ended up becoming a follower of Jesus. And at the end of chapter 9, if you remember, we find him excommunicated from the Jewish faith by the Jewish shepherds, by the Jewish leaders. We find him excommunicated, and like Jesus, we find him rejected. And now this dialogue, this illustration that Jesus gives, this teaching that Jesus gives about himself being the good shepherd, is there in the temple with those religious leaders, the same religious leaders who had cast the blind man out. This dialogue is to them with the blind man, now the seeing man, sitting right next to him. And Jesus says to these people now, he says, you cast this man out of the flock. You as shepherds cast this man out of your flock. But I want you to know something. There's a new order coming. There's a new way coming. There is a new flock. And you know what? Because of his profession and faith in me, and we saw last week in chapter 9 how he was at the feet of Jesus saying, my Lord, my Lord. He was excommunicated from one flock, and he gained admission into another flock, the flock of Jesus Christ, of whom, to whom he is the good shepherd. Now Jesus now draws upon a very common occupation at the time, a very common occupation of shepherding, to make his point, to make his illustration. Shepherding was very, very common at that time. We can't always relate to this idea of shepherding because we don't see a whole lot of shepherds and sheep around the Salem-Silverton area. But if Jesus were here now, he would probably say something like, instead of I am the good shepherd, he would say, folks, I am the good Ronald McDonald. All others are thieves and robbers. Because you know what? 1 in 10 Americans, I think this is the statistic, it's close to this, it may not be completely accurate, but 1 in 10 Americans have worked at McDonald's. You know that? 1 in 10 Americans have used, I'd like to take a poll here, but I won't. You know? But the fact is that shepherding was just as commonplace as McDonald's is to us as well. And Jesus draws upon a common illustration right now of whom these religious leaders also liken themselves to be shepherds. He called upon a common occupation to make this point. Now, a shepherd was easily identifiable in the days of Jesus. A shepherd was one that had a white tunic or a white robe, and around that tunic and around that robe was a leather belt, and on that leather belt was a satchel or a bag, and usually in that bag were figs or dried fruit, things that the shepherd would have for himself. Now, shepherds would spend long hours out in the wilderness, long hours away, and sheep are high maintenance for the most part. We're always watching for predators, and there are those that are on record have just gone sheep crazy, you know. I mean, they just go nuts because they're out there just watching sheep, and they're just, you know, they're just with sheep all the time, and they end up going sheep crazy, you know. And so he would have with him some provisions as well. And so he had this satchel, and in it were this dried fruit, but also in it were some rocks as well. You might remember David when he slew the shepherd boy, when he slew Goliath. He reached into his satchel and he pulled out some rocks. And he put them in what was also on the shepherd's belt as well. He put them in a sling. A shepherd always carried a sling. And the sling enabled him to keep away predators from a long distance. If a wolf or a jackal or a hyena or a lion or a cougar would come towards the sheep, the shepherd would just simply reach in the bag, pull out a rock, and with precision accuracy bounce it off the nose of whatever that predator was. Now, these shepherds would spend hours out there just working on their, you know, their skills. So it was there to keep predators at a distance, to keep predators away as they came in. Maybe a sheep would be out there grazing and be out there a distance. The shepherd would just But it was also used as well to bring the sheep back into the fold a little bit. Because you see, the shepherd was so accurate with this that he could bounce the rock as inches in front of the nose of the sheep. And so a sheep was out there kind of wandering around, a rock would bounce on top of him, woo! You know, and he'd kind of hightail it back, you know, back into the flock or back into the herd, you know, or back into the bunch, you know, of the sheep. So the shepherd, again, had a robe and a belt, and on the belt was a satchel and a sling. But the shepherd also had on his belt a horn, and in that horn was oil. Usually there was a sulfur mixture and tar and oil, sometimes olive oil, and this oil was used for a specific purpose. He would anoint the head of the sheep with this oil, and it would keep away the nose flies. Now, interesting point about sheep. Sheep need a few things before they're ever able to rest or to lie down. They need to have food, they need to have water, they need to have protection, and they need to have oil to keep away the nose flies. Because these nose flies are so plaguing on the sheep that the sheep will stick their heads in bushes or they'll stick their nose up against other sheep, and sometimes the nose flies are so plaguing to them that they would actually suffocate pushing their noses up against the wool of other sheep. They would actually suffocate. And the sheep had, and this oil that was anointed on the sheep and put on the sheep was for the purpose of keeping away the nose flies. But it also had another purpose as well. And that is this. Sometimes sheep act like goats. Kind of butt their heads together. You know? And so the shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep. And it would kind of reduce some of the friction. You'd kind of go, boom, skipping off, you know? Just a little bit, you know? And, you know, kind of a thing. And it would, they just kind of lose interest after a while. And so, you know, it was used for two purposes. One, to keep the bugs away, and secondarily, to kind of reduce the friction that was between the sheep. He also had on his person, or on that belt, he also had what was called a rod, which was essentially, it was a small club. It would be much like a TR-24 or a nightstick that a police officer would carry. It's a small club, and it would be used in close combat, unlike the sling, which was used at long distances, the rod or the club was used at close distances, and he would use it to against predators. You know, it was a rod for protection, but the rod also had another purpose as well. It was there for inspection as well. He would use it to kind of lift up the wool. As the wool would grow out, he'd use it to inspect, to kind of move away some of the wool to see if there were any skin diseases or any bugs or fleas or whatever that were there. It was used for that purpose. But it was also used not only for protection and inspection, but the rod was also sometimes used as a rod of correction as well. What do I mean by that? A loving shepherd, a shepherd who loved the sheep, was concerned about the well-being of the sheep. And there were sometimes in the young little lambs, there was a tendency for the young little lambs to kind of stray off. And he would call to the sheep and they would come back, or to the little lambs and they would come back. And if they didn't come back, then the shepherd would go and get them. If they continued to just kind of be rebellious and headstrong and resist the wooings or the protection of the fold and of the shepherd then would take the club and break the legs of that little lamb. And I know that sounds harsh, and I know that it sounds cruel, but you know what happened there? You've seen pictures of it. The shepherd would actually take that little lamb that he loves and cares for, and he puts that little lamb on his shoulders. And he carries that lamb until the legs heal. And then he puts that little lamb down. And the lamb doesn't wander anymore. Not because, well, I thanked you and you learned your lesson. But because there was a bonding that took place. As the shepherd carried that lamb around, there was a bonding that took place. And the little lamb didn't want to stray far from the master anymore. It was used as rod for protection, for inspection. But it was also used for correction as well. The shepherd, again, would also carry a staff within him. It was a thing that was 4, 5, 6 feet tall. Now, we normally see a shepherd's staff as being 7 or 8 feet tall and had a big curve on the end of it, but there were very few staffs that were like that. A staff was usually 4 or 5 feet long, and it had, and it's just a small little crook in the end of it. And the staff was used for many ways. It was used to usually just to redirect a sheep or a lamb, to redirect them. Maybe a flock was going one way and it was a wrong way, and the shepherd would just gently lay that staff along the side of the sheep, and it would be redirected. You know, they would take a different course of action. Or he may take that little crook at the end of it, not a big crook, but just a little crook. And you take it and just maybe, you know, catch a leg of one of the sheep and just kind of redirect it just a little bit. It was used for redirecting. And these shepherds became very skilled at the use of their staff. It was used for redirection. The shepherd, too, would very seldom drive the sheep. He wouldn't stand behind them like on a cattle drive. Yeah, here on, little doggies. You know, very seldom worked in that fashion, but more often than not, the sheep would follow the shepherd. He would lead them, essentially. And the sheep would just simply follow him. The shepherd would always go before them. And at night times, whenever they were out in the wilderness, the shepherd would usually build an enclosure where there would be a single doorway. And the sheep would be inside this enclosure where they would find safety and where they would find protection, where they would be together as a flock, and they would lie down, provided all those elements of water and protection and nose flies and food were met. They would lie down, and he would make them to lie down there, and they would rest there, completely rested, with the shepherd sitting in that enclosure. He would sit in that doorway. He would actually just sit there, and if any predator wanted to come in, they would have to go past the shepherd. Or if the sheep wanted to go out, they would have to go past the shepherd as well. And the shepherd was there, you know, taking care of the sheep. And so we see that Jesus now draws upon a familiar illustration to show that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. For you see, Jesus himself is robed in robes of righteousness. He himself is robed in robes of righteousness. And on his belt are a sling and stones as well. And they are called the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which keep the enemy at bay, which keep the enemy at distance. You know something? Whenever we worship God, I'm convinced of something. Whenever we worship God, it's like fingers on a chalkboard for Satan, you know, for the enemy. He hears us worshiping God. He would rather we worship anything but God. But when our worship is directed towards God, it's like fingers on a chalkboard, and he hates that. And it keeps him at a distance. You know, the broken body, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and worship. It keeps the enemy at a distance like the sling and the stones do for the shepherd. There was also a horn of anointing oil called the Holy Spirit. That God anoints us for whatever might bug us, for whatever might irritate us. There's the horn of anointing oil that our good shepherd pours upon us, the Holy Spirit. And it's called the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. All the fruit of the Spirit there. It's that it's there with us. For whatever bugs us, it's there. But also sometimes we as sheep, even though we're not sheep, we are like sheep, we sometimes act like goats. And we do. And we butt heads at times. Well, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And the Lord anoints us with that and kind of reduces the friction just a little bit, this anointing oil that God puts upon us. He also has a rod for protection, for inspection, and for correction. It's called the Word of God. It's there for our own protection. As we have learned, as we do the Word of God, it's there for our benefit. It's not do this and love God. It's love God and do this. We love God and we get to do this. Not, well, I've got to do this. The Word of God is there for our own protection. It's there as well for our own correction. The Word of God can correct us. Even the Scriptures tell us that. The Word of God that God has given, our Good Shepherd has given to us. He's also, our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, has also a staff, which are the promises of God. The promise being that I will never forsake you and I will never leave you. And if you ever get off track, just know this. Our Good Shepherd just takes his staff, lays it up alongside of us, and just gently redirects us. Maybe grabs us by the foot, our Good Shepherd. Just gently grabs us by the foot and redirects us. We also have a Good Shepherd, a Savior, who has gone before us, whom we follow. He leads the sheep. He goes before us. I love what it says in the Scriptures, how our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, was tempted in all ways as we were, himself being a man, having gone before us. And now he lives eternally next to God, making intercession for us. And he makes prayers for you and for me personally with whatever it is we're dealing with as a passionate high priest, as a Good Shepherd does. Because I know what trials are there. I know what pitfalls are there for the sheep. I know what is there because I've gone before them. And our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, has gone before us as a man. And he knows everything that we struggle with, the things that you struggle with as well. And he's also a Good Shepherd who sits in the door. All blessings come in and through Jesus Christ. All blessings come because of him. They come through him, in and through him. As the Good Shepherd sat on the doorway and everything had to go past him, even the blessings that you and I get, these privileges that we have of being in the fold, come as a result of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And every predator that wants to come after you, you know, they have to go past God. They have to go through the doorway. You know what Jesus is saying? If you want my sheep, it's going to be past my dead body. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. If you want access, it's going to be over my dead body. And you know what?
The enemy's defeated.
He's like a lion that comes after the sheep,
but he ain't got no teeth. He's got gums. A lot of saliva coming out of his mouth, you know? Because Jesus Christ rendered him powerless where? There on the cross. And I love the illustration here of the Good Shepherd. I love the illustration that Jesus points here to the fact that, you know, I am the Good Shepherd. There is a new order. There's a new flock. And I am the shepherd of that flock. And I'm able and I'm capable and I'm willing and desirous to care for my sheep. Now, why am I telling you all this? This is kind of informational. Why am I telling you all this? Because I have challenged us this year for 1997 to see God, to get rid of our sin, to take a stand for God, and to stick our neck out for Him. And you know what? A little bit scary. It is a little bit scary. But the fact is this, we are in good hands of our Good Shepherd. He will recorrect. He will redirect us. He has given us His Word. We've got the rod that's there for protection and correction. We've got the slingshot there that keeps the enemy away. We've got worship. We've got all these things. But why do I feel so vulnerable? I'm taking a step out and it's uncomfortable for me. I want you to know that you're in good hands with the shepherd. But you don't know me. And I keep continually failing over and over again. And I take steps of faith. And I it's like I take two steps forward and three steps back. You know something? That's why I like verse 28. And he says, not verse 28. Verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You know something? The Good Shepherd knows you, and He knows the things that you wrestle with. And He says, "I know that, and even in spite of that, your fears, your failures, your sins, your doubts, and even though you're not a real good sheep, I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, sheep are not the brightest animals in the world. In fact, sheep are probably the dumbest things that God ever created in His entire life. I heard a story one time where there was a group of sheep just kind of driving, walking down the roadway looking for food, looking for grass. And one sheep apparently was nearsighted or something, and he jumped over a gate that wasn't there, just an imaginary gate. Whoa! You know what? The rest of the sheep came to the same spot and went, whoa, they jumped over it too, you know, because they're so stupid, they're so dumb, you know. In Australia, they do a lot of shepherding back there, and they put the sheep, thousands of sheep, up in what are called paddocks, and they force them to lie down. And in the morning, the shepherd, and there's water there for them, and the sheep won't drink water until the shepherd gets up and just kind of drives them through the water. They sit there in the hot Australian sun and just kind of warm all thirsty. Wish somebody bring me a drink, you know, and there's water right there. You know, the shepherd just kind of drives them out there. They're dumb. Sheep are dumb. I read a story last night about sheep, it's called casting. Sheep cast. You know, and What's that? Well, one pastor was watching a bunch of sheep and he saw one sheep out in the middle of a field with its legs kind of sticking straight up, you know, just kind of stiff, you know, and he assumed that the sheep was dead. And so he called the shepherd or the sheep herder and said, "Hey, you got a sheep down there, he's dead." And so within a few minutes, the shepherd drives down there and he said, that sheep ain't dead, he's just casted. And so what is apparently because of, you know, they get so much wool on them, or they get so bloated eating so much food, or because they're getting ready to have a little lamb or something, they just kind of come up statues, you know, like this. And so the shepherd comes along, kind of gently kind of massages the legs and, you know, briskly massages the wool, and suddenly the old sheep kind of, whoa, you know, gets back up. Thanks, Lord, I needed that. You know, kind of gets, you know, the sheep are dumb, you know. They're the dumbest animals God ever created. And you know, sheep are, they're completely defenseless. sheep are completely defenseless. You know, a lion has teeth. A skunk has stink. You know, my wife's got spitballs. Sheep are completely defenseless and completely dependent upon the sheep, or the shepherd, to care for them. They have no innate defensive mechanisms whatsoever within them. They are completely defenseless. They're dumb. They're exasperating. You know, they're exasperating to deal with at times. They truly, truly are. You get them to go one way, they go the other. You know, and sheep are exasperating. You know what? Our good shepherd knows that about us. Because you know what? One of the reasons I think God used the illustration of sheep is because they're so much typical of us. Kind of dumb. Kind of defenseless. Kind of dependent. And you know what? We are exasperating at times. But you know something? Our good shepherd knows that about you. He knows that. He knows the things that you struggle with. He knows the things that you doubt. He knows that you are exasperating. But you know what? He is not frustrated with you. He is not disappointed with you. He loves you so much that he laid down his life knowing full well as Romans chapter 5 that you were sinners and lousy sheep. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. A couple of years ago, my wife and I had dinner with some friends of ours. The kids were huge. It was like four or five kids, and they were hugely unruly all night long. The table was just a food fight, you know. And see a roll coming past your face, you know. And the kids were in the other room just kicking, and we couldn't, you know, they're fighting, and we tried to talk with the parents, and the kids were like, "Oh, you know, Tommy pulled my ear, yeah, but you slapped me in the face," you know. And all night long is when I'm, and Debbie and I were driving home, and I said, "Man," I said, "those are difficult kids." And I said, "Why would anybody love kids like that?" And Debbie says, "Well, I guess the only reason you would love them is because they're his." And you know what? That's true about you and I as sheep. We are dumb, dumb, dumb sheep. We can be exasperating at times. You know, have you ever seen a trained sheep before? I never have. I've seen trained dogs. I've seen trained lions. I've seen horses trained. I've even seen ducks that have been trained. I've heard that fleas can be trained, but I've never once in my life seen a trained sheep, ever. Because they can't learn anything. You know what? Sometimes neither can we. But our good shepherd says, "I know that about you. And I love you anyway, so much so that I'm going to give my life for you." I say that for us here on this first Sunday in New Year's Eve, in New Year's, for this very purpose. We have been challenged, I think, to see God, to take steps of faith. And we will do that. We'll follow the leading of our shepherd. We'll do what he says. We'll probably fail. We'll probably mess things up. We'll probably never learn. But our Heavenly Father says, "I know that about you, but you're part of my fold, and no one can snatch you from my hand." And you can take steps of faith. And even if you do fail, I'm not going to sit there and say, "Yes, I told you so." But God is simply going to say, "I've made promises to you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to leave you. And if you make a mistake, we'll make good come from that. If you get out of line, I'll put you back in order once again. I'll put you back in order again. Why? Because I'm the good shepherd. And you're my sheep. And I know you. And I just have good for you. I have green pastures for you. I have rest for you. I have safety for you if you'll just follow me. If you'll just follow me." And I know you feel uncomfortable. And I know you wrestle with your own sheepness. Dumb. But you know what? You're in good hands.
And listen as I read to you Psalm 23. Now with this understanding, just listen. David the shepherd says this about his shepherd, Jesus Christ. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what I like most about this psalm? It tells us about the Good Shepherd. One of the things I like most about it, there's about 115 words here, give or take, and about 92 of those 115 words are one syllable. It's one syllable. It makes it easy to understand, doesn't it? Makes it easy to understand one syllable. The Lord is my shepherd. A famous actor was once the guest of honor at a social gathering where he received many requests to recite this favorite song. An old preacher happened to be there, and he asked him that asked the actor to recite this song, which I've just read, Psalm 23. The actor, this famous actor, agreed on the condition that the preacher would also recite Psalm 23. The actor's recitation was beautifully intoned with great dramatic emphasis, for which he received lengthy applause. The preacher's voice, who also read Psalm 23, was rough and broken from many years of preaching, and his diction was anything but polished. But when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. When someone asked the actor what made the difference, he replied, "I know the psalm." But that preacher, he knows the shepherd. We have a good shepherd who knows everything about us, who loves us. And he leads us and he guides us. And we are in good hands with him. Know that. As you in 1997 just begin to branch out and see God, to take steps of faith, to take risks, know this. We have a good shepherd and you're part of the fold. You're part of the fold and no one is going to take you from the fold because you're in Jesus Christ. But also know this, that he will redirect you, correct you if you're wrong, gently. Why? Because he is the good shepherd who gave his life for you and me. We are in good hands. Know the shepherd. Father, I thank you for this picture, for this illustration that is here that you have given to us of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Lord, we know that you are a good shepherd, and the problem seems to be not in knowing that you are a good shepherd, but that we just aren't very good sheep. I pray, Lord, that we would take great courage and comfort in knowing that you know that about us, and yet even so, you have blessings for us, Lord, that anointing oil of the Holy Spirit, that correction, that direction, all that comes, that protection, all that, Father, that you have made available to us, Lord, just by merely being in the flock. And Lord, the fact is we aren't good sheep. But that doesn't matter. What matters is you're a good shepherd, and you love the sheep, and you gave your life for us. Father, I pray today that we would rest in that, that you would make us lie down in that green pasture, knowing that our needs are met, that we are safe in the fold of Jesus Christ. And I pray that if there is anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ, may they know today that the only way that you can get into this flock to safety and protection is through Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the door to the flock. I'm the door to the flock. You have to come through me. Even as predators have to come past my dead body, so are any of those that want to gain access into the flock. They have to come past the dead body of Jesus Christ, who was died, who was killed, who died, whose body was broken for you, the sheep. And if that's you here today, just very quickly, I'm not going to take a lot of time. If you're saying, yep, that's me, I want to redirect myself. I want to get connected again. I've been outside the flock, and I see that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and I need to be part of the flock. Maybe you've been away for a while, and you want to come back into the flock. Jesus Christ is standing at the door saying, hey, I'm ready to receive you. If that's you, and you want to say, yeah, I need to get in the flock again, and I want to receive Jesus Christ in my life, or recommit my life to Jesus Christ, I want you, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, very quickly, just to plop your hand in the air, because I want to pray for you. Okay, I see you in the back. Good, put your hand down. Good. Anyone else? That's me. Okay, over here. Got it. Good, thanks. Someone else. I'm not going to take a long time here. Just plop your hand in here so I can see it. No one's looking at you. I want to receive Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for these two now, Lord Jesus. The Bible talks about repentance. Oftentimes we think of repentance as merely turning from sin, when in actuality repentance is turning towards God first. And Lord, you've seen these two hands that have gone up. And I know not what's going on in their lives right now, Father, but I do know that right now, because of their turning towards God, that salvation has taken place. Because they said yes to God, they've turned towards you, even as that blind man just simply said, show me the Lord that I might worship him. And Jesus said, it's me who's speaking to you. He fell down at his feet, and salvation took place. Even now, Father, these two that have raised their hands have received salvation because they've turned towards Jesus Christ. And right now, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. I pray, God, that these two would realize that now they are in the fold of Christ right now. They are following the Good Shepherd. May they follow wherever you lead right now, Lord Jesus. May they find safety and security in knowing that their sins are forgiven, that the Shepherd gave his life for these sheep. It's never been done before, but the Shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And all the blessings now that the Shepherd has, they have because of their profession of faith. And I pray now they would just rest in the completed work of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, and rejoice that the salvation has taken place. Cover them now, Lord. Protect them from the wiles of the enemy. Seek to separate them from the flock. Seek their destruction. Protect them, Father. For the rest of us, Lord, I pray that we would realize that whether we are good sheep or bad sheep, whether we make mistakes or not, we are in good hands with our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Help us to rest in that now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.